Good evening, everyone. This is episode 7 of The Anxious Mind. I have a guest on today.
Hello.
His name is Brendan. You can say your last name if you want. I'm going to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Nah, dude, I like to keep it on a very first name basis.
Okay.
But my name is Brendan. And I am a mental health technician, which is about the lowest paid job in all of psychology. I have just enough education to think I know what I'm talking about. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll be on your podcast, Kevin. I'll come talk about anxiety, but to not actually know anything.
I'm stoked to have you, bro. This is the guest that I've been talking about this whole time. Well, not the cop. He's gonna be on a different episode, but Brennan's more certified to be on here.
I don't know, dude. Cops might know what they're talking about.
Bro, it's crazy. He has an anxiety disorder too. And like, he does the night shift, which is like, seems extra sketchy.
Is he like a corrections officer?
No, he's a, is a correction officer the one in the
jails?
No, he's on parole or on duty.
Okay. Yeah.
He has a cruiser. I think he works like, eight to something.
That'd be hard with an anxiety disorder because,
yeah,
like, it's a stressful job in and of itself.
I was telling him that, it's so unpredictable. You never know what's going to happen in the next hour.
I mean, a normal pullover could be, you know, that could go so wrong so fast.
Yeah, that's scary, bro. This is crazy.
You're just glad to have someone here talking to you, aren't you?
This is dope, dude. We got a mic set up today, so if it's a little loud, just, you know, turn the car speaker down or whatever you're listening to this on.
Take those headphones out of your ears and
listen to it on speaker. Let everyone listen to it. It's not going to be me pausing a bunch. I mean, probably, but Brennan's going to be here helping me out.
I'll just throw you a bone every once in a while. I'll just be like, here.
Yeah, throw me a bone.
Keep talking, Kevin.
This episode isn't sponsored by Sprite Zero, but it's the best soda.
Nah, dude.
You're insane. It's
Diet Sprite, but not called Diet Sprite.
Yeah, it's Sprite Zero, bro. That's better than Diet Sprite. That sounds... Diet Sprite is a shitty name. So what have you been up to today, bro?
Just, you know, dealing with car issues. But, is your thing falling over?
Fucking thing. I'm trying to move it so it's closer to me. And we're back.
Yeah, dude, just dealing with car issues. I hate cars. The me passion. Too.
I love and hate them at the same time. Pain in the ass, they're expensive.
Yeah, dude, I like your podcast. I think it's a great idea for a podcast. I wanted to come on just because, I don't know.
I'm glad you did,
I like
dude.
Having these talks about like mental health, which we kind of have anyway.
Right.
You know, like we kind of just go on rants. So I was like, sure, dude, I'll come talk in front of a microphone, I guess.
Right. Brendan is the closest thing I have to a therapist right now. I'm like, hey, bro, you want to go to lunch? And I, you know, we get lunch and I unload all my mental baggage
out
on him. Like we're flying Delta and I'm just like, here, I'm first class.
You just kind of dump it on me and leave, too. You just got to kind of rant and then you're just like, all right,
it's like a
day.
It's like a one night stand, bro.
Yeah.
Like, got to get that.
You just stop there before you take us in a direction you don't want to go on your podcast.
Yeah. All right. What should the topic be today, Bryn? Anything that comes to mind?
I wanted to talk about some social media.
And how you're never on it?
Yeah.
How long have you been clean for, Brendan?
I've been off of it for over a year now. I think it was last January.
A year.
Yeah. And it feels pretty freaking good.
I think if we were to put it in the bracket of addiction, it's probably the highest.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's like I think it's the main reason that anxiety is so, I mean, I'm talking out of my ass here because I'm not an expert in anything, but like
More certified than me, bro.
This podcast no certification is, bro. This is at all, dude.
Anecdotes.
But I think it's the major reason that people are so anxious and depressed today is not just because of the existence of social media, but because we don't know how to balance it.
Right. Like,
we don't know how to balance technology and our lives. And so it rules it.
So what made it you want to just quit it instead of taper off?
Because
you just cold turkeyed, right?
I cold turkeyed. Yeah, I just shut it all off my phone. I deleted everything off my accounts. And I mean, my wife will activate it and kind of get on it from time to time, but it's not like it's been off my phone since then.
Right.
And there wasn't like one thing that made me do it. I had tried to quit it a couple times. I would like take it off my phone and then re-download it and just be like, okay, well, I just won't get on it as much. And you check the, you know, how there's like a thing that tells you how long you've been on every app on your phone.
Right. Yeah.
Have you seen that?
The activity.
Yeah. Whatever. Your activity log. And you just look at it and you're like, holy crap, I waste so much time just scrolling through stuff that I don't remember 2 seconds later. It's like eating junk food, or, you know what I mean? Like, you're just in and out.
Right.
It's not anything good for your system at all.
Right. Yeah, bro. I've tried to quit so many times, and I always circle back to like, why not even quit? Like, I should just be checking this, you know, moderation.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is like what every addict says.
Yeah. And like, I don't think it's all bad. Like, I even now, like, I consider like maybe I should get back on it, like, and just participate in the parts of it that I like, you know, like, right, not go follow a bunch of people from high school or celebrities and all that crap. Just like if you're going to be on Instagram, like, just have it for photos. Like, you just want to share your photos. You don't get in and scroll.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I don't think my personal strength is high enough to just do that. So I just have to be off of it in order for me to have that balance. But I do think it's a good thing, because it can be a good thing, because it is like a good way to connect people. But it's a balancing thing.
Like, right.
If you have to find that balance of where it's not hurting your life.
Right. No, yeah, I totally get that. It's definitely, it could be a good tool, but oftentimes we just abuse it.
Yeah.
It's like what I was talking about on the last episode of like the success porn and all these influencers and air quotes here, entrepreneurs, people that make a living from saying things, and just they create this image that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's the biggest feeding ground for that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's what it is to me, is porn.
Yeah. And that's how it was like for me too. Like, it was, even when I was posting stuff, it was just like, what image am I creating? Like, you know, like, I like to read books and stuff, and like, I was like posting pictures of books and like, oh, I'm going to seem like such an intellectual to all these people who are following me on Instagram who really don't care at all. And it's just like, it's not authentic either. No. Like, you're never, like, if I'm spending all my time on Instagram, I'm not actually reading those books. You're just like, you know, you're just putting up the front,
right,
all the time. You're like, what are people going to think when I post this? How is this going to make me look to other people? And it's like a constant popularity contest. It's just, I don't know. Like, have you seen the Fyre documentary on Netflix about the Fyre Festival?
No, I haven't seen that yet. I've heard about it, though.
It's really good, like, for this topic, because it, like, it talks about how, like, there's people, like, that will pay to go into, like, a private jet and take a picture, but they never leave the ground. They just walk in, take a picture for their Instagram, post it, and then leave.
Right.
And it's just to portray this, oh, look at me, look at my glamorous life. I'm in a private jet. Yeah, but you're not flying it. You're not doing anything with it. You're just putting up this show. And I think that putting up that show is like a major reason why people are anxious.
Right.
Like, today because everyone's connected, everyone's participating. It's just overwhelming.
Yeah, we try to, for me anyway, I feel like I'm always trying to curate this life that I don't live. And I feel like I'm a lot better at it now, but you know, like when I was 18, mm-hmm. posting pictures of my old man's truck and show me driving it. I'll show off my new clothes, show off this, just seeking validation from everyone. Mm-hmm. That's dangerous, in my opinion. I think that's a dangerous game to be playing.
And it's addictive too. Like,
right.
And I don't know. And like my personal experience with it, I feel a lot less anxious and more present since then. Like I feel like my head's clear. Like since I've took it off my phone, like, I mean, I've done other things in combination with that. Like you've talked about mindfulness on here before. Like, I think that's really important. And yeah, I don't know. It's made a big impact for me in reducing my anxiety because like, even like my job now, like I said, I'm a mental health technician and like, I've always wanted to like be in the field of psychology, but like when I'm on social media, I would want to post stuff so people know, right. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So people know what I'm doing,
right.
You know, like, oh, look at me, like, yeah. Look at this cool job that I have, but it's like, I don't care now. Like, I don't feel the need to tell people.
I get you.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't need to brag about it on my social media page. I don't need to.
Right. You don't need anyone seeing what you're
doing. Post pictures of me in the parking lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, and I would do that type of crap before, like just all the time.
Right.
And I didn't even think I was that like into social media back then. Like I probably would have given a similar talk. Cause I thought I was anti-social media back then, but right. I wasn't, you know.
That's so crazy to me that you did quit. Cause dude, I've tried to quit probably like 5-10 times, and the longest I made it was like 15 days. And I remember I was like golfing, and this is the crazy thing about social media, how far away it takes you from the present moment. Mm-hmm. We're just out there golfing. Everyone runs up to the clubhouse. I'm sure some of you guys have been golfing. You do 9 holes and then you stop at a clubhouse to go grab some lunch real quick. And someone was grabbing me a sandwich and I was just sitting there for probably like, I don't know, 5 minutes. And then this thought came to my head where I needed to check Snapchat. Snapchat was so important right now. I could have 5,000 people sending me messages that are urgent. Maybe that cute girl that I added back in the day hit me up, you know, just stuff like that.
You're like, what's going on over there? And you can't be with yourself almost. Like you can't like sit with the people around you and just, like there's probably people there you could have talked to,
right?
Like struck up a genuine conversation with, but
or I could have just went inside with them.
Yeah, or yeah, or even just sat by yourself and just like enjoyed the sunshine or whatever. But like you just feel that itch,
right?
If I got to be involved, I got to be, you know.
Yeah, it was hard, bro. And I checked it, and there was like I don't know 5 Snapchats.
You're not missing a whole lot. Yeah,
streak. If you send streaks on Snapchat, delete it right now. If you're my friend on Snapchat and you send me streaks,
just delete.
I'm blocking you.
Just get off my friends list now.
See, even that, like our generation, let's not say generations, but our age, we're both, I'm 21. How old are you? You're 22?
Yeah, I'm 22.
I'm soon to be 22, but my little cousins that are like 15 to 18, they have these streaks that are like 600 days long, and like they're addicts, bro. Like bad. Like I know I have a problem, but
I mean, if it's anything else, like imagine like you're trying to keep a streak of you eating an Oreo. Right. Like you're gonna be like, yeah, I'm proud I ate an Oreo 600 days in a row.
That's the thing,
though, you know, dude. What I mean? Like it's anything else and it's not a good thing, but like,
and they're like
they put it on display. They put it on for bragging rights and. You know,
and then they give their passwords to friends, mm-hmm. and you'll get I remember back in high school, streak from blah, blah, because she got her phone taken away.
Just to keep the streak going.
Just to keep the streak going. Yeah. Like, how dumb. Like, what do you get out of that 600 days?
Yeah. It's crazy, dude. And, yeah, I think it's, like, I think it's a big problem. And I mean, you've seen, I mean, it's been talked about to death of what it's doing to like our brains when you're constantly connected like that.
Right.
And like, you see like these things about the suicide rate in like young girls. I don't know if you've heard about that, but like, it's like gone through the roof, and they blame it almost entirely on like the rise of social media, because it's just like a like the 12-year-old girls are thinking they have to be up, like they have to maintain this image or else they're not going to be liked. Like, you can't be liked for being yourself. You only liked if you maintain this image on social media.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Persona.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So they just are under constant judgment, and like, it's like high school. Like, you know, like the later years in high school, everyone's trying to outdo each other. They're trying to be this person and have, you know, like they're always talking about all these things they're going to do. And it's just a popularity contest. Right, and exactly. I mean, before social media, you come home and you're away from it. Like, you're at home, you're with other people, you're not involved, but with social media, you're just always in it.
You're tethered.
Yeah. You can't get away from it.
You have that ball and chain in your pocket.
Yeah. And I mean, phones in general, I mean, you can make this argument with technology just as a whole, because there has to be some kind of balance in your life to not be overly anxious all the time. Like, I mean, even our phones, like, I don't know if you ever get this, but I've talked to other people that have it, and I guess it's a thing, the phantom ring phantom vibrate, where you think that your phone's vibrating and you're like,
yep,
it's nowhere on you. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
more times than I want to admit.
Yeah. It happens all the time. And I like, it's cause we're so involved.
Right. Oh, dude, I wish they counted how many times you unlocked your phone in a day. Like, if you could have the number on your home screen.
Yeah.
It'd probably be ridiculous. Like,
how many times because mine, you just like put your finger to the back of it and it unlocks. Like, right. If I knew how many times I touched the back of that thing every day.
And it's like, it's better now that I have the Apple Watch, because I don't have to pull it out of my pocket and like, I'll look at it when it, when I do get a notification.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I really do hate that. Cause I mean, even now it's not as bad as like a year or so ago, cause I have more stuff going on, but like, I found myself, the reason I wanted to go on that social media cleanse, if that's what you want to call it, cause I didn't, you know, quit.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I was always waiting for someone to send me notifications. Like I yearned for it at the end of the day to come home, pull my phone out of my pocket, and my notifications just being so long, I could barely scroll through them.
Yeah.
And that was, you know,
it got you excited, right?
And yeah. Oh, when it did happen. Yeah. If I got some DMs or Snapchats or texts, I felt important, which is probably like a big reason why people get anxious with it, is they want to be important to people.
Mm-hmm.
Or
they want to seem like they're doing something different. Like, but the thing is, when everyone's doing something different, it's not different.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like even unique. It's just, oh, another girl showing her butt on Instagram, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just the same.
Yep. That's pretty much it, bro. Like, you can basically see any person you talk to, half naked on their Instagram, and it's just like, it's not frowned upon, because it's so common.
But if you walked around like that, even like in public, like you walk down the street like that, and it's not, you know what I mean? Like, you walk down the street in a bikini, then it's not gonna fly very well with your neighbors and their little kids and everything. But you post it for the whole world to see, and no one cares.
It was just seek validation, I think is what it is.
Yeah, man. And I don't know. As far as anxiety goes, I think it's a huge problem. I mean, phones in general and social media. I try to use my phone as little as possible, but I mean, even then, like, you can try to be that person that doesn't have their phone with them, but
right.
it's still hard, like, because we're so used to it at this point. Like, I don't even know how I get around town. Like, I'm trying to find some new restaurant or something. I don't even know how I'd find it without my stupid phone.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine back in the day when they had to put their ear to the ground. They had to use
a map. They had those tin cans and strings, and they're like, where are you at? Oh, turn right.
ear to the ground. Lick the finger, feel the wind.
Use a compass.
Yeah, a compass. Come on. Oh, I forgot what I was going to say. What was it? Ah, dang it.
But yeah, dude, I don't know. It's helped because I've struggled with anxiety too. And I feel like anxiety is not like this thing that like only a select few deal with. Like it's a pretty common like thing. I mean, to have an anxiety disorder is even more like through the roof, but it's helped my anxiety a ton to
be more present.
Yeah. To,
oh yeah. That's what I was going to say.
Cause that's like part of it too, is like you are more present if you're not involved in whatever's going on online.
Exactly.
Like I would much rather now, I'd much rather prefer to sit down and have this conversation with you than to be texting. And like you even like the other day, you were like, I would much rather call someone than send a text.
Yeah. And it doesn't get interpreted wrong. And you can get a week worth of texting done in 5 minutes.
In 10 seconds even.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, what I was going to say was there's this app called TikTok. I'm sure you've heard of.
Yeah.
I'm sure Allie's shown you some dumb TikTok.
She's on it.
If you haven't heard, I'm sure you've heard about TikTok. But if you're an older listener, older being like in your 20s, because this is like a young kid app right now. But it's just on fire. It's basically what Instagram is or was to Facebook in 2012 or something like that, before Instagram. Like
it looks like Vine to me.
Yeah, it's basically a better version of, less glitchy version of Vine. But I'll find myself on there, I'll get on for like 10 seconds it feels like, but that's how long a video is, 10 seconds. So you know, I'll just get a couple swipes, and some are 60 seconds. So I'll get in, and like one will be funny. I'm like, damn, that's funny. Like it, share it a couple people. And then, you know, I'm flicking through trying to find that next one that's funny. And I look at what time it is, and like 3 hours have gone by. And I look up and I'm like, oh shit, I'm in my room right now. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like someone just put a bag over my head and took me for a ride.
And I do that with like podcasts or YouTube even, or like any of that type of stuff too. Like you can spend so much time on all that stuff.
Right. But like,
you got to find a balance in it.
Like for me, when I have my worst panic attacks is when I'm like super distant from my senses. Like the worst one I had recently is probably, I want to say in like August or something. And I was sitting right there where you were watching TV. It was Ready Player One. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Bro, I was so sucked into at the end of it. And like, I looked down for a second and I like started freaking out because I realized I wasn't in the movie, which is the cool thing about movies, because you feel like you're there, you're escaping reality. But when I, you know, look down and I like, oh shit, I'm not there right now.
I'm here.
And then
I'm sitting in this room.
The bad thing that we do when we have anxiety is we start that chain of like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. And instead of me like calming myself down, I just freak out. Run outside. I'm like, you know, rubbing my hands, trying to get myself to calm down. Cause for me, like,
did you do like mindfulness back then?
Yeah, no, dude, this was like a few months ago. So I had not as much as I do now, but I had this thing where it's a C5. C5 things, touch 4 things.
Oh yeah.
Hear
yeah.
3, smell 2, taste 1.
Yeah. I've given that advice to people before.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it helped, but like that one kind of ruined my night. Like I just went late in my bed, but that's like the worst one I've had in a while. Or, you know, it was in August, so that was a while ago.
Yeah. And so like when that happened, did like the C5 and all that stuff help you like while you were in it? Like, did it help?
It did. It was kind of hard because I was sitting there in that hallway right there, like on the floor, like trying to calm. That was the thing, is I knew it was a panic attack, which sometimes I would get confused with, like, I'm having a heart attack. The scariest thing for me is losing touch with, like, my body. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to...
Feeling like you're going to leave your
fade
body.
Fade away, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And I knew the whole time, like, even everyone around me, I was freaking out. I was like, I'm having a really bad panic attack right now. And the damn dog's rubbing his toy on me, dude, and just making it more... Making it worse.
Doing that game he was just playing with me.
Doing that thing. That little red ball right there, bro, rubbing it on my arms. And I just ran outside. And I knew it was a panic attack, though, but I wanted it to be over so fast. Like, I wanted it over that second. But I think the most success I've had with panic attacks is when I try to accept that it's there and face it more head on instead of running from it.
Yeah, because, I feel like if you're, like, stressing yourself out about, oh, shoot, I'm having a panic attack, like, that's just going to make it worse. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, if you're like, oh, man, I've gone so long without a panic attack, and now I'm having one. Right. And it just, like, gets you more, like, white-knuckled.
Yep.
Is that how it was?
Yeah. No, yeah, I have that for sure. Especially, like, when I'm driving, like, I'll think of, like, a panic attack I had while I'm driving.
Yeah.
Like a panic attack when I was driving while I'm driving. That makes sense. Like,
yeah. So you're like, oh, this is what it's like. This is what's going to happen. This is, and then I'm going down this, like, this hole again. Like, here we go.
And then I'm that boulder off of Indiana Jones and I'm just, you know,
tumbling
down. And, it's terrifying, dude. I remember when I couldn't drive.
Yeah.
That was embarrassing, bro. You know your good friends, or you know your true friends when you're it's late at night and you need to ride to Walmart to buy something stupid for your computer. Man, it was nice not to have that.
Yeah, it was. Didn't seem like it'd be too much fun, especially because, like, you had to justify it to people,
right?
Like,
yeah, especially
like because people didn't understand.
Because you're like I don't think I've talked to anybody that knows more than you do, know what I'm talking about more than you do, especially since you went to school for it.
I've had one too.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I know what it feels like. And
right.
Like, I mean, I've sat with people while they're having them before too at my job. And, like, it's tough, but, like, I know what it's like. So I know, like, what I would want someone to do if I was having one. And someone was sitting next to me, I know what I would want them to do to help me get through it.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't want them standing over and you just be like, dude, just relax, just calm down, it's all going to be fine.
Right.
Like, that's not going to help anything.
Exactly.
Like, you want someone to take, like, literally just take your mind off of it. You know what I mean? Like, start talking about something else. Like, oh man, did you see the score of the football game? Did you, like, you know, like, just kind of take them. You somewhere else.
Yeah.
And... I mean, I did research. I worked in a research lab for, I think I told you that.
When I
was at school. And are we running out of time?
Yeah, let's. And we're back. Yeah.
But yeah, I worked at a research lab and it was for anxiety. And I mean, and it was like a mindfulness lab, like, kind of thing. And one of the studies that I helped work on, they talk about, like, how you said sometimes it helps when I just accept that I'm having a panic attack and face it.
Right.
And that, I don't remember what they called it. It was,
I'd say,
more I think it was, I think not. It was, I think it was referred to as acceptance in this study, but it might've been like diffusion or something like that. But basically it was what would help someone in a, like, when they're in anxious situations, what's more likely to help them if they accept what's going on and just face it and, like, kind of bolster their ability to fight it? Like, oh yeah, I can get through this. I've done it before. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Accept this is a panic attack. I know what this is. I can get through it, as opposed to distracting yourself. So, like, how I just said, like, just take your mind off of it, bring up something else.
Right.
And I mean, both methods have, like, they can work when you're having a panic attack, or, like, if you're with someone who's having a anxiety attack, at least in my experience, it's been able to help. But I mean, sometimes you just, there's nothing you can do.
Right. You just have to
like
ride the storm.
Cause I mean, I could sit here, like if you had one right now, I could sit here and try to take your mind off it. That doesn't mean your mind's actually going to go off it. Doesn't mean you're going to pay attention to me or that you're going to listen to me. So it's like a two-way street.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
It's very scary when it happens, though.
Like, yes.
Because, like I said, I've had one, and they're not pleasant.
No, they are not pleasant.
You're shaking. You're
so hard to explain to someone that's never had one what it feels like, because it's, you don't have words. And I mean, that's like the whole reason I even wanted to start this podcast, because my first year with it was so hard for one, me to accept that that's what that was. Like I was convinced I had a brain tumor or some sort of Kevin disease.
Yeah.
Like that no one else has ever experienced in their life, and I'm special. And
yeah, I remember you were in the hospital and you were, yeah.
Like I've seen a doctor weekly. Walk in there. Hey, Tom. Hey,
yeah.
Hey, Kevin.
So there's something going on in your stomach. There's some type of brain thing going on.
Right.
Because you want it to be physical. Like you don't want to like, I mean, mental health is like very difficult because it's something that you can't see physically.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's not there. And so like if someone is, like when you're having a panic attack or you're having anxiety, like it's easy for someone who's never, like you're saying, if you've never experienced it, then you're just going to be like, dude, just calm down.
Right.
Like, and this is nothing to be anxious about. This is nothing to be freaking out about. It's just every day. It's just normal. Like, why are you having this issue? But because you can't see it, like you can't see anything physically wrong with you.
Right.
Except for your behavior. Like you're acting like something's wrong with you. But I mean, there is like, it's, and it's in your mind, like a lot of times, but there is something wrong, and it is right. Something that can be helped. But
and it's so hard sometimes to realize that it's going to be over and that it's not going to be the rest of your life, that it's that feeling in the moment
when you're in the midst of it.
Cause I mean, that's the thing is like this moment, the second that you guys are listening to us right now, you're choosing, this is the only moment you have ever, you know, just this moment is here. Now it's gone. And that's crazy that you guys are listening to this podcast right now in your only moment.
choosing to spend your moments listening to Kevin and Brendan talk about.
Yep. And that's the anxious
anxiety.
But I feel like, I have so much to learn still. And I feel like more times than not, when I've accepted that it's a panic attack and like, I'm just going to ride it out. Like, especially with driving, that's the only way I was able to start driving again was like, I'd have a panic attack in my car and I'm like, what's a panic attack? Like, and then I'd be like, oh, well maybe I'll accidentally steer off into the traffic, but I never have.
And that anxiety like kept you from driving.
And I mean, I'm willing to argue that when you have anxiety while you're driving, you're probably 20 times more alert than the dude next to you driving with his knee pouring hot sauce on his taco and texting his wife back and Snapchatting.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like you're paying attention to everything.
Right.
If you're having anxiety about it.
Yeah. It's such a crazy thing. And dude, it's like, it's such a double-edged sword because I feel like it has helped me in my life in some ways and it's hindered me and helped me.
Well, it does. Like, yeah. I mean, anxiety is a part of life. It's just too much anxiety can destroy your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I saw this, I think it was a TED talk. I'll have to send it to you. But basically, it's this lady talking about how anxiety is like typically associated with like people not living as long because like, oh, it's gonna weigh on your heart, it's gonna, you know what I mean, like there's kind of that, like if you're super anxious all the time you're probably not gonna live as long. But I don't remember the results of the study exactly, but basically the outcome of it was that people who had like no anxiety had the shortest amount of like the shortest lifespan. And so some anxiety is like, it's good for you. Like, because if you're not concerned about the future and you're just like living for today all the time, then you're not gonna like anticipate difficult situations. You're not, you know what I mean? Like, you're not, it can help you. I mean, it's in our, it's in us for a reason. It's helped us genetically and
adapt and
But it's just when it rules your life, you know, that's when it's too much. That's when you have a disorder, when, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You can't go out and
your symptoms can't function in life. Essentially
your symptoms kind of, choose your destiny for you.
Yeah.
I'm definitely, guilty of that. Like, I would always think like days ahead, like, oh, maybe, I'll have a bad stomach ache and I won't be able to go. Or if I go, I'll have a bad stomach ache and I'll have to be in the bathroom. But where's that bathroom at? What if I go in the middle of nowhere and have a heart attack?
Yeah.
And then I'll just be like, you just better stay home and surf the web.
Yeah. And you don't get anything out of that because you don't even leave. And it's important to like put yourself in uncomfortable situations too. I mean, that's how you grow. And so, yeah, I think anxiety is super important. Like, have you seen, I'm pretty sure you probably watch Rick and Morty, right?
Oh, I love Rick and Morty.
Yeah. Have you seen the episode where he's got the crystal and it's telling him how he's going to die?
Yep.
And there's like a quote in that episode where he's like, because he's constantly anxious about how he's going to die. And
he's like,
yeah, he's like walking around like a zombie trying to die the right way.
I do as the crystal says.
Yeah. And there's like a moment in there where I don't remember which one of them says it, but one of them says, you have to live in the moment and plan for the future. And it's just like a mix of both of those things. Like, you can't just live in the moment. You can't only be present all the time, but you also can't be freaking out about the future all the time.
Right.
Like, you have to plan for the future, but live in the moment. Understand that the future's not here right now, but at the same time, have a plan for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's so crazy that we all juggle that like unconsciously.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, every day, like, even if it's as simple as what are we doing for dinner, you're kind of multitasking that with what you're doing the second that you're taking care of the past. You know what I mean? You're just all day you're juggling.
Yeah. Between thinking about the future, what's going on in front of you, and what happened yesterday.
Right. That's insane.
Yeah. And I don't know, man. It is hard. And it's, again, it's important to find balance. I think everything in life is just about finding a balance and living. It's definitely important to live in the present, and it can help reduce your anxiety. But at the same time, if you're only living in the present, then bad things can happen to you. And
that's true.
That's just going to make you more anxious.
That's true. Yeah. 3 steps across the street, there's no car. 4 steps.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, life's a trip. Dang, dude, we are 40 minutes in. See, I told you that was going to feel fast, huh? Yeah.
Twice as long as your...
as my last episode? As
your last episode.
It feels so much better having you here, or just someone, actual person to talk to, instead of just me hovered over my phone.
Or at least I'm bouncing thoughts back at you.
Right.
But yeah, I would agree. I mean, I want to start a podcast at some point too, but what I'm scared about is just bouncing ideas off myself, talking to a mic alone.
Got me, bro.
Sounds super stressful.
You got a little brother?
It's true.
I know that your podcast will be good. Because look, dude, you're relaxed.
Trying to be.
I can see it, bro.
From when feeling a little bit anxious right now, but
you're more limber now. Is that the word? Is limber tight? I think limber's loose,
limber's,
right?
Limber's the good one.
I got all these fancy sounding words that I have kind of give you the definition for. I don't know how I acquire them either. It's just I see stuff happens. And I got this little scrapbook in my mind of educated words I put in there, or not educated, but you know, different different words that have the same meaning as something simple.
Yeah, dude, you used to have a insane like stockpile of analogies.
Just, I still got them, bro.
Just put away.
Those are in my pocket.
You've used a few just in this podcast. Yeah.
Like what?
I don't even remember. I just heard you say a couple of them.
I just like, fling them out, bro. Typical
Kevin analogy right there.
I'm a car dealer in Vegas, bro. I'm just the house always wins, though.
There's one right there, dude.
And if it doesn't make sense, I'm like, that makes sense. Unconsciously, I do that.
You just kind of throw it out there and see what happens.
Yep. Hey, man, there's a lot of people I talk to, though, that they don't catch that hook. That hook don't catch in there. You know what I'm saying? I cast out and they don't.
I've heard this one before. Tossing out the hook and seeing what bites.
Or like, I'll say one that makes so much sense to me. And then to them, they just stare at me blankly. Like, what do you mean with the tree and the leaves and the... I'm like, oh.
Like, I thought it was pretty obvious, but whatever.
I'm like, yeah. I don't have it. I made this analogy that I was talking to Ray Forrester. He runs, what's that podcast called? The Optimal Prime. Of course, I know what it is. Ray, if you're listening, dude, I totally knew what your podcast was called, bro.
Yeah, have Kevin as a guest.
Bro, I want him on
guest
here.
Guest star.
I want you three on here, bro, because he is a mental health professional. He works with
said he's a counselor or something, right? Because I think you talked about him on a different podcast.
Right.
A previous episode.
He's a smart guy. And dude, and he's got a New Zealand accent, so he talks super everything he says sounds smart.
Yeah.
It's pretty tight. He's a big dude. But what was I talking about?
You want to have us three on the podcast.
I want to have you three on here. Oh no, I was talking about the analogy that I said on there about success and success porn. Was I said I'm gonna butcher this, that motivation is just the ignition of the bomb and discipline is the fuse, and the bomb being like results. That makes sense. So if you have a bomb and you have the fuse and you need ignition for the fuse to ignite the bomb, right? A flame.
Yeah.
That's what motivation is in my mind, is the flame. And if you don't have discipline, that fuse isn't going to light, right?
Yeah.
It's non-flammable fuse if you can't have discipline or adherence to anything, and the bomb being the results. So I'm sure there's some cognitive dissonance in this podcast versus my last, but what I meant with the motivation is like these dudes that run successful companies that are based around people paying them to teach them how to do this certain thing. Who can I say, for instance, like Tony Robbins? Let's say you go to Tony Robbins convention and he gets you all hyped up, but you have nothing to put the energy into. Cause it's like,
I know this whole, like, I sympathize with your last podcast. Like my biggest one is Ty Lopez.
Yeah, Ty Lopez.
You know Ty Lopez.
Oh, man, I almost bought one of his courses.
I thought about it back in the day too, dude. And it's just, he's selling the idea. There's nothing substantive to get you going.
Knowledge. That's going to be loud as hell.
Famous, dude. The famous knowledge.
Yeah, everyone knows Ty Lopez, bro. I've clicked through every one of his.
And there's nothing there. Like, no. I mean, he's just offering the baseline. Like there's nothing like that you can't get anywhere else.
Right. What a better example for the social media wave. Like he is just that, like he's all show. Like he tries to make his life a movie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hot chicks, big house.
Fast cars. Yeah. Oh, I'm smart too.
Knowledge.
It's all important. How I got all these things is just reading books.
Yep.
And like,
you know what I like more than Lamborghinis?
Knowledge. And you know, like, and if you like seriously look into it, there's nothing to it.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing to him at all. Like, he has like a book or a video that I was, because back in the day, I was like all in it. Like, I was like, oh, I got to
get rich quick.
I got to get rich like tomorrow.
Right.
And so, like, I was watching through his videos and he had one about how the speed reading happens, like how they do this speed reading. Because there's multiple people. It's not just him. Like, there's multiple people that'll say, I read a book a day.
Right.
But, yeah, you can get through a book a day. You're not getting anything out of it.
Yeah, dude.
You know what I mean? Like, he's like, yeah, you go through and read all the bullet points. You read the front and the back. And then you get, like, the main golden nuggets of information. No.
That's, like, Cliff Notes.
Yeah, I could go on Cliff Notes and get exactly what you're telling me to do.
I got you.
And I don't even have to scroll through the book. But you got to have this image of I'm doing all this successful stuff. You know, I don't know.
Right. Nah, dude, that's...
Maybe
that's
we shouldn't be slandering Ty Lopez.
Ty Lopez can eat my butt. Ty Lopez, if you're listening to this, I almost bought your course, bro.
I watched
so much of his content on social media marketing, and it all boiled down to the same thing.
Is that how you got into social media marketing? Because when you talked about it, that's all I could think of. Like, when you first told me about it, I was like, that's Ty Lopez.
Well, I saw him, and I was like, that's get rich quick. That's stupid. And then I looked more into it because of, what's his name? I think his name's like Serial Entrepreneur on YouTube. This isn't a shout out for him. I don't care for him, but he has like this web series where he's like trying to make money, and he started with like a car detailing business, which I ironically tried to start, but it's too hot. It was way too hot. Cars don't come out good when you got soap on them in the hot weather. But he went from the detailing to social media management, marketing. I was like, that's interesting. You know, I like social media. I like photography. I like seeing things come together, make them look good. So I was like, oh, maybe I'll look into this because the way that it was explained was cool. And why are these companies paying $5,000 a month to have some knuckle dragger
post run their for them? Social media? Yeah.
Right. And that's all I got from that is most of the people that are selling courses are knuckle draggers because this was the setup, dude. The hardest part was the sale, right? I set up a meeting with you. I say you need social media. They're like, cool. And then it's just like, I take some pictures for you and I post them. And I was like, that's it?
That's all I got to do?
That's all.
$5,000 a month?
Right. And I'm like, I do not see the value in this. Like, how can I make high quality commercials? How can I make all these backlinks to like them to get employees and whatnot? Because that's like a lot. Most people now, because the economy is doing so good, is they need more employees and they don't really care about, because they're already making so much money. They need more people to help make more money.
Mm-hmm.
So, and none of them explain that. All like, as deep as I could go, I spent probably $1,000 on courses, and the furthest I got was how to set up like this automatic poster. So you're making the $5,000 a month without doing anything. And I was like, this business model does not look very stable to me. They're trying to get you to build a house of cards on a yoga ball.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, there's an analogy right there.
Just threw it out there. But yeah, dude, I don't know. I agree. It's the same thing as what we were talking about before. It's just putting up that front.
Right. But dude,
look at all this cool stuff I can do.
Right. I think there's a time and place for motivation. If you have discipline and can adhere to things, motivation's awesome. But
motivation gets me to the gym.
Right.
But once I'm at the gym,
the discipline kicks
in. Yeah, the discipline kicks in. It's about, okay, I got to get this stuff done before I can leave.
Exactly. Because like I'm doing a 12-week diet right now, and what's in my head, if they're like make a little pyramid, Dr. Spencer, I forgot how to say his last name, made it, but it was like it goes calories, adherence, and then macros. If you make a little pyramid,
mm-hmm.
So like first should be, because I mean weight loss, calories in, calories out. That's the most important. The second most important after you have that is making sure you're gonna do it. Adherence.
Yeah. But
I'd argue that it's the first, but if it's going to work, that's what you need it to work. Less calories. Second, adherence, which is the most important thing of everything. Make sure you adhere to a job, you know. Oh, I don't feel like going today. I'll go tomorrow. I'm down for tomorrow. I went yesterday, but today, nah. Same with the diet. I got all motivated. I cooked some food. I cooked enough food for today. I get to tomorrow and I'm like, not really feeling it.
McDonald's.
Right. Hit McDonald's. That's a problem with motivation, is that it just dies. It's not permanent.
Yeah.
And that's, dude, it gets me so riled up to think of like all the hours that I put into these motivating podcasts.
Like Tony Robbins type stuff.
Right. To have people scream at me and I'm like, yes, success, success. I don't know if I said this on the last podcast. My dad had this really cool analogy where he said people go to Tony Robbins seminars and he gets them all motivated and it's like spinning a top. And the top goes really fast. You know, it goes out of there. It's spinning. But eventually it tumbles back over to where it started. And I mean, I don't know if that analogy makes sense to you guys, but does it make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I feel like you have this motivation and let's say Tony Robbins gets you off the couch tomorrow and you're all fired up. But where's that motivation going? You know what I mean? Like if I'm a receptionist and I just went to Tony Robbins and hey, I love receptionists. If you're a receptionist, nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying if you went there and you're like, want to start a business and he motivated you to get off your butt tomorrow, that's cool. But what are you doing to start the business?
Yeah. You have to have a goal.
Right. That was the same thing with this podcast, dude. I sat down 100 times and I started going and I'm like, it's not good enough yet. Tomorrow it'll be better. Once I get this stuff, it'll be way better. Like now we're talking on mics. It's probably going to sound a little different than usual, but I started just, you know, talking to my phone. I was like, it's not good enough yet. I need to get the snow.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. The snowball mic.
Yeah, snowball mic.
Yeah.
I need a better laptop. I need displays. I need a schedule. I need topics to talk about.
I mean, all that is like delaying the actual work too.
It's like running, bro. Like I don't have good enough shoes yet. I need better shoes. I can't go to the gym yet. I don't got good enough clothes.
Yeah.
It's just.
Just go.
Just go.
Just do it.
Just start. That's like.
It's the same thing with like Tai Lopez too. Like. I mean, they are motivating. Like you watch like those type of videos and they make you want to get up and do something.
Right.
But you need something to work towards. You need like true guidance, to have an end goal, or you need to just start working on the end goal. Like even just like if you're going to start a business, it's better to start a business and fail. Like I've always like thought that like business was kind of a weird subject to major in college,
right?
Because like because I mean nothing against it, like you're learning cool stuff, like that's good and great, but you can learn cool stuff like from Tai Lopez and like all those people online that you find, but I feel like it'd be so much more valuable to just start a business. Even if you fail, even if it goes bankrupt immediately, it's better to know how to actually start it and go through those processes and fail, then to take the course, learn how to do it, never do it, and then just say, oh, well, it's a bust.
I feel exactly the same. Ironically, that business is my major. That's why I quit going. That's why I took a year and a half break, is because I had a mentor and he's like, well, you know, the best way to learn about business is to be in business. And I agreed. I dropped out, but then what? I, you know, worked full time, then what?
There's no like backup to it.
Right. I started buying these courses. I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And then these courses, you know, didn't do me nothing other than made me mad that I spent all that money.
Yeah.
And I'm going back to school, but this time around I'm going and hopefully starting a business and applying the things as I go. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that you have to go to school for business to run a business. Well, maybe to be a manager or something.
But if you're like get to the upper status in the first place to learn like those higher business concepts, you'd probably have to go to school. But like,
I mean, not to be the owner of the company. I mean, if you're just walking in, because let's say you have a really successful business, you're making $7 million a year, and I come in off the street, and I'm like, let me run the show.
Yeah.
Let me juggle all this for you.
And then that's not gonna happen.
You give me a week, and you just lost $100,000, and
because you didn't know what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
And I mean, even with this podcast, it's like the same type of thing, because like you could go online. I mean, we're all over the place with what we're talking about. Right. Like
That's a podcast. Okay? Yeah. That's what we do.
And like, it's better for us to like get on here. I mean, that's why I thought it was cool that you were doing it in the first place, because like, it's better to get on here and just start talking than like, I mean, I've wanted to start one for a long time too, but like, I'll spend all this time on the internet. Like, how do I make it? How do I get the software? How do I like, what do I talk about? How long do I talk about subjects? How do I stay on track on a subject? Like, and you just talk yourself into this hole of not actually doing anything. And it's so much better to just get on, do it. Who cares if it fails? I mean, it's working towards
exactly
success. And, you know, it's better to fail and succeed than learn all this crap, sit on the couch and not do anything.
Fail forward.
Yeah.
That's another thing I ran into, is where literally if I had a second, I had some entrepreneur talking to me in my ear, like a podcast, or I've probably listened to over 100 books on Audible by now, at least. And I ran into this problem of information constipation, where I had absorbed all this knowledge, but I wasn't applying any of it. So that's like another thing where I am trying to manage and be more moderate with what I listen to, is that I need to listen, take note of it, and then apply it.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so many things I've listened to and I've just forgot, or I never applied it, or I'm like, dang, that's a good idea. And a really good book that was super short that I actually applied was Eat That Frog. And I mean, that's like the reason I'm doing this. But it's better to just do. And that's why I'm even going to go back to school, is one, the contacts you make are awesome. And the people around you is huge for me.
School is worth it in like its own way. Like,
right. I mean, I wouldn't sell anybody on going to school for a business major, but I just feel like when I was going, I felt so dialed in mentally.
Yeah. It makes you focus.
Right.
You're
more,
to a certain extent.
You learn how to manage your time better, and you're working towards something. That's my biggest issue, bro. If I'm left to my own devices and I don't have anything that I'm working towards, because even when I was chasing the stupid program, spending all that money on these stupid courses, I still had my focus on something.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like the last year I kind of, run out of time again.
Sure, wrap it up.
And we're back. we'll wrap it up. But I spent, all this time on courses, and I just was always aimed towards something. And I feel like that helped me the most with anxiety, is like having a goal and achieving it slowly. Because, I mean, I went out the gate swinging, bro. My first episode, I was saying I was going to wake up at 5:30, and that's self-help podcast talking.
Yeah.
Like, why am I waking up at 5:30? I'd wake up at 5:30 and had nothing to do.
It's because you watched a Tony Robbins talk the night before or exactly. Something like that. Yeah.
Yep. Because who's to say that waking up at 5:30 versus going to bed at 2 in the morning has more benefit?
Yeah. And it's not even like about making a podcast every day. It's like, do you have something to talk about every day? Like, do you have like a goal of what you're wanting to get out of your podcast? Right. You know what I mean? Like, Is there a reason you're doing it? Or are you just doing it because...
just to do it.
Yeah, just to do it.
Right.
And I feel like that's like the way that discipline is made, is to have a purpose behind, like to have goals at the end of each day, to have big goals broken up into smaller goals. And like, I mean, human beings are like, they're meant to achieve things.
Goal driven, right?
Yeah, they're very goal driven. Like you've heard all these stories of like people who are super successful and they fall off the wagon. They like, I think it was on a different podcast, but they were talking about like a boxer or someone. It's probably on Joe Rogan, honestly.
Probably.
But they were talking about a boxer and how once he became the champion, or once he lost like that drive for boxing, he doesn't know what to do with himself, because he has nothing that he's achieving all the time. Right. Like, he's not working towards something. Or even celebrities, like they don't really have much to achieve. Like, or when they have all this achievement, they start doing drugs. They start doing all this stupid stuff because they don't have a purpose or a goal or something they're trying to do.
Are they summited so quick?
Yeah. Like they achieve all this crap, like, and leads to nothing. Like it's not sustainable. It's not, I don't know. I feel like I'm being really confusing and talking in circles, but
I get what you're saying. You just need, you need a target.
Yeah. You need something to aim for.
Right.
And I feel like that's what gets people up in the morning too.
Right.
You know,
I mean, that's like with the gym, work.
And you can find it. Like you can find a purpose in anything. Like you're talking about, like, I mean, you have this job that you're doing, and like some days, like your job might suck, but like you could like learn stuff about how that business is run.
Right.
Just from being in the job.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you can learn so much from any job, from any situation. You just have to be willing to find it. You know what I mean? Like find that, what it is in that situation that you need to learn or you need to take away so that you can aim for something else.
Yeah, exactly. I agree 100%.
But anyway, I know we're running really long now.
Yeah, I hope at this point. I hope everyone is.
We've talked in circles.
Still listening. Dude, that was sweet. Like, I hope this sounds good. I hope everyone's.
Probably couldn't hear me the entire time. Oh, like, man, I was probably like way too far back.
That's going to suck if we're.
You're going to be really disappointed.
I'm going to be disappointed. If it's just like the whole time. But I really appreciate everyone listening. I appreciate Brennan for being on here. This is our 7th episode, guys. And Brennan's a listener. Brennan listens to these.
Yeah, I listen to every episode.
I'm here to make him proud. And he's going to be on plenty more.
I'd love to. So
leave us a review talking about Brennan. I think the only place you can leave a review is on the Apple. But that's where the majority of the listeners are coming in from. But I appreciate you guys. This has been The Anxious Mind with Kevin and Brennan today. Hope you took something from this podcast and apply it. Okay, everyone. Have a great day. Thanks for coming on, Brennan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.